Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Shut Your Face with your host, me, Bree. Thank you so much for subscribing to this and listening to this and being supportive of this. It means the absolute world. It's the coolest thing ever. So thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Jody.
I am.
And you are the better half of JW Hat Company.
Yes. JW Brooks Custom Hats. Yes.
Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I'm Brianna.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, really quick, just how did this start for you guys? Like, how long have you been making hats? What made you just wake up one day and go, we're going to do cowboy hats?
Okay. So, that's really easy for me to answer. I've been doing it now close to 20 years, but J-Dub's been doing it for 30 something years.
Wow.
He started right out of high school, went to high school in Durango, Colorado, started making hats. Well, actually he got commissioned to do art. He's an artist, and his art, his pencil art looks like black and white photographs. It's unreal. It could be in any studio in Jackson Hole. It's crazy realistic. And the local hat maker guy there, who happened to be legitimately probably the best custom hat maker in the country at the time, hired him to do some commission artwork for him. And then obviously noted he had an eye for symmetry and things like that, and said, I bet you'd be a good hat shaper, and hired him on to do some hats. And then he worked his way up, and then he's opened several hat companies in Western stores and ran those. And then he finally went out on his own. But he's actually been out like doing his own things since his early 20s.
Wow. That's a very long time.
It's a long time.
And it's not a lot of people that make them, in the level that you guys make them. You know, you guys are up there with like Resistol and some of the really big brands.
Right. Yes. And that's true. In fact, it was a really cool thing for us to, Western Horseman runs a big, contest every year and called the Best Of.
Yeah.
Like 2024, 2025.
Yeah.
And they have several categories. And last year, the first year he was put in the artist category, won that. Last year he was nominated in the hat category and the artist category. He was second in the artist and came in third in the hat category, which we were the only custom hat makers in that category.
Oh, wow.
Who won it. You had the big hat manufacturers and then us.
Yeah.
Coming in third. So we were really, really proud of that, you know, to be recognized now is like a national, not just custom hat, but now we're doing a lot of retail stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Now,
no, it's so. not, Yeah, not like one or the other's worse or better mm-hmm. or whatever or small or big. It's right. just like, right. yeah, that's a really cool thing because yeah. you are still we really, it was. Yeah, like you're still really, you know, down on the level of me and you, people like even me, like I don't even wear hats anymore, you know, so like to know that you are that big and you're not just some little small town, you know, company, that's really cool. Now, did you both grow up on horses and around horses like your entire life or?
Yes. So in fact, you and I have something in common. We're both from the South. I'm originally from Georgia.
Stop it.
Yeah. And my dad is from North Carolina.
Stop it.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in North Carolina.
So are you familiar with Greensboro, like Piedmont area?
Yes.
That's me. Yeah. How cool.
I'll be darned. I knew it. I love that. So anyway, to answer your question, you know, J-Dub and I grew up on totally opposite ends of the coast. You know, I'm on the East Coast. He was primarily always on the West Coast. His family are big rodeo people.
Oh, okay.
And his brother Wayne grew up riding bucking horses and now is a big time rodeo announcer. You know, he announces NFR.
Oh, wow.
Kind of guy. Yeah. And wow. then and then J-Dub rode horses all his life, you know, around the farm, pushing up cattle and things like that. They used horses more for work. And
so hold on. How did that meet? Because you're...
That's a totally different broadcast.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. We actually did meet at NFR.
So what yes. part of the West Coast is he from?
So he grew up like Colorado, Wyoming.
Oh, wow.
They moved around a lot. His
oh, cool.
mom and dad opened up a lot of Corral West Western Wear stores.
Oh, okay.
And they moved a lot. J-Dub moved 13 times in 12 years of his school career.
Those
yeah.
kids are resilient.
So, yes, they are. And there were five of them.
Whoa.
And they're a great family, very great family. So, you know, his lifestyle was very, very Western. There goes the dogs. My growing up was showing and recreational horseback
yeah.
ride. When I was little, my dad always had horses and did a little training for like an Arab farm when he was living in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then, you know, growing up, he always had one or two horses at the house.
Yeah.
And then when I got to be in high school, they gave me an ultimatum. Either I could get a car or I could have a horse. But I'd have to quit. Like, I was cheering and dancing, and then I wanted a car, and, you know, all the things. But I really wanted a horse. And so they gave me an ultimatum. Well, pick one or the other because we're not doing all of it. And I picked the horse. So I had my friends cart me around all through my high school career because I didn't have a car because I wanted, you know.
Hey, you got the best of both worlds, though. You really, you know, that was pretty
right?
smart.
Right. So, and then, you know, growing up, we did the little, you know, I did the little toss to ride classes in my local high school, you know, horse show, the big long week long thing they have every year around the 4th. And then that really, I just love showing. And
yeah.
so it was really funny when we got together at the time to circle back to your original question, how we met is, I was doing drill team. And was co-managing a drill team in Georgia, and we were doing a lot of rodeos and was hired by a rodeo company, and they hired me and another gal to go out to NFR and work their booth the week prior to NFR, and that's when all the contracts are made.
Yeah.
Before the big rodeo starts. So knowing I met Wayne, J-Dub's brother, because he was announcing a lot of the rodeos that we were doing. And so I already knew Wayne, and then Wayne introduced us one night at a big, you know, casino, and it, you know, whatever happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas.
She brought Vegas home.
I did. And then said, I'm never leaving Georgia. And I think I left 3 months later.
Well, now you just made me think about something. Now, what part of Georgia were you from or lived or whatever?
You ever heard of Dalton, Georgia?
Yeah. Well, I lived in Georgia for a small period of time. Okay. Yeah, I did a lot of work with people in Georgia. I know in the real estate industry. I loved Georgia. I didn't want to come back home, but I had to, so.
Yeah, I get that. I love Georgia, too. Before I was a hat maker's wife and running this business, I was a paralegal for 15 years.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah, and I tell people this all the time. I'm so grateful that I had the education that I got. Yeah. I went to the University of Georgia and majored in political science. And then I also got an associate's degree in paralegal studies and then worked in Atlanta for a short period of time. And I did not like the traffic, you know, loved the job, just didn't like the traffic. And then worked at a big law firm in North Georgia and then met J-Dub and then the rest is history.
Yeah.
So now I do hats.
That's awesome, because you know what? I'm glad somebody else understands Atlanta traffic, because it's not like, it's not in the back roads where you can just run up the road like 5 minutes. You better plan for like an hour for a 15-minute haul. Like,
I challenge anybody to drive a horse trailer through Atlanta traffic during rush hour. Good luck.
We did. My daddy did that. He did that. Uh-huh. We went to Perry, Georgia, and we had to go all the way to Perry, Georgia, and we'd go through Atlanta traffic. He said, never again. I will never do it again.
Oh, I did it many, many, many times. I feel like I can drive anywhere in the world now because of that.
I praise you. Now, I wanted to kind of talk about one other thing that you said. So you came from a showing background.
I did.
Pleasure all around, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And then rodeo world, those are two different, like, I've had a lot of people say it's almost a culture shock. But the horses are different. The way things ran are different. Even the attire. So you guys now, though, J.W. Brooks is everywhere. Like, you do reining. Are you there? Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I told you my phone was going to ring. Sorry about that.
No, sorry. But you guys are everywhere. You're in reining. You're in pleasure. Mm-hmm. You're in the rodeo. You're everywhere. Was that something that was kind of hard for you to dive into as a company, or was it just, did it just come easy to kind of go into all disciplines?
Well, you know, when J-Dub and I first got together, I had probably 3 years of rodeo and performing in rodeo situations. So, you know, I understood rodeo. I knew the dialect and the lingo and the sport, even though I didn't participate in, but I've run barrels and I've done all that. But I loved it. I love rodeo people. I love everything about it. It was just almost like and at the time, too, I was showing cow horses. So I was doing rein cow horses too. So I was doing both. When I met J-Dub was primarily really only taking care of rodeo people. That's his background. And he was already making hats and had a big following in Arizona and Colorado and in those Western states in the rodeo side of things. I think it was just kind of a match made in heaven, in my opinion, because he didn't have a lot of experience with the show people at all. In fact, he was a little, you know, I don't want to say intimidated, but he didn't know much about it. He had no in with that side of things, whereas I did. And when he kind of started back, you know, doing the hats, with me involved, I was like,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey, there's this whole other side of the industry that you're not tapping into. Like, we need to tap into these people. You know, let's not leave them out, because J-Dub's hats are amazing. And I was like, you know, my people, you know, would really appreciate a good hat too. And so that's where I kind of stepped in with the sales part and started pushing us in those industries. And at the same time, I kind of switched over and started doing more versatility horses, and which is reining, cutting, cow horse, trail, pleasure, and halter. So that's kind of like, so I could go talk to these people is my point. You know, like, hey, I ride too. I can tell you from a rider's perspective what I want in a cowboy hat and why it's important, you know, the fit, the comfort, the shape, the style, all of it. And I could talk intelligently on both sides. And so I think I'm just kind of brought in that group to complement what Jada was already doing with the rodeo industry.
Yeah.
Side of things.
It was a little power couple deal, because you're right. Like, cause for me, we grew up pleasure, 4-H all around. So the rodeo industry is like the opposite. For me, I was really kind of intimidated to get into the rodeo industry, you know, like, and who, not that you don't have the equine knowledge or like, you know, whatever, same thing that you're saying. So it's kind of cool to hear that. Now, as far as the actual hats are concerned, I wonder if, did it just stumble upon something that he just did for fun, or did he look at the industry and go, you know what, we need something better?
That's one of the things I really love about J-Dub, is that he is an artist first and foremost. I mean, like, to the core. He's a Western singer. He made the top, a lot of people don't know this, but he made the top, he was a finalist in Nashville Star when that was on CMT. So he can draw, he can sing, and he can make hats, and he can build houses. And I mean, he's done all of this stuff. But what I really love about him is his artistic mind and his innovated, he's always looking to make things better, you know, and especially with his hats. And he's like, you know, 100 years, the custom hat or the cowboy hat hasn't changed. What can I do to bring it, you know, a little more forward, and what's missing?
Yeah.
And so he spends a lot of time, and that's why he's got 4 patents. He spends a lot of time thinking about this, you know, like, what can we do to do things better? What makes us different? How can we change this? What needs to be different? You know, I mean, he's constantly thinking, forward. And
well, the industry was really limited. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, we were limited. Mm-hmm. I remember buying cowboy hats. You had like 2 brands to choose from. 3.
Correct.
Like, that's it, you know? So it's refreshing to know that you have other options out there. You have other things to, you know, make it better or whatever, that you can shop. So, I mean, I remember that clearly. You felt like, okay, well, this is all we got to choose from, you know?
Well, yeah. And you know what? And especially for us, you know, Southern honeys, you know, east of the Mississippi, I don't know that I'd ever heard of a custom hat until I met my husband, because growing up on the East Coast, you know, in Georgia,
right,
like you just said, we didn't have a lot of options. Mm-hmm. You went to the Western store and you bought a hat and you've got it out of that box and you stuck it on your head, and if it fit, great. If it was too tight, you made it work. If it was too loose, you made that work too. So, you know, I mean, we didn't know.
Right.
And when I met him and he said, oh, I make custom hats, I was like, what? You know, and when he made me my first hat, I was like, oh my gosh, I have been missing this for like all my life. There's such a radical difference between a custom product,
right,
and something that's mass produced. I mean, there just is, you know, custom, like, for instance, most of us don't have a set size. We're not a straight 7. We might be a tick under or a tick over. Well, that makes a big difference when you stick a hat on your head. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
it's not going to fit, but where custom, we can go in there and get your exact shape and stick it and put a hat on your head that just feels like it's better than a ball cap, you know, like, it's just like, obviously it was made for you. So,
right.
But yeah, I had no knowledge.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. 'Cause you're right.
No,
like,
you're
I mean,
not.
Yeah. It's like the East Coast. We just got left out. We just got, like, but it was a lot of activity, but we just got, like, the leftovers. Because you're right, yes. Like, my mind has been blown from everything from attire to even just general horsemanship and horses, like, you right. know, from what's going on the other side. Because you're right, a lot of it is in the middle of the country, even in California, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. do you guys still show, right?
I do. Okay. Quite a bit.
Yeah, that's yeah. what I thought. Okay, but you show reiners and you show cow horses.
Well, so yes, because I do it for the versatility. I have done, you know, before I started doing versatility, I did cow horse back in Georgia. And then kind of stepped away from it and started doing versatility, which is all of it. So you have to have a horse that kind of is an all-around horse that does the reining, does the cutting, does the cow horse, does, you know. And I love the challenge of that. I think that's why I stick with it, why I've stuck with it for so long. I love a horse. I love... I guess because we all grew up back in the day, you had one horse.
Yeah.
You could afford one horse, maybe. And that horse had to do everything.
Yeah.
Go trail, go run barrels, go do the pleasure, you know, the Western pleasure back then before it got, you know, the style changed. You know, you had one horse and you did everything on that horse. You roped on it. You did, you know, if you wanted to take a Sunday and go trail ride, that's what you took, you know. So I think the nostalgia of it is why I keep doing it, because yeah. I just love that. I love having a versatile horse. I don't know what I would do with one that was so specific, you know, yeah. that I couldn't, because I like to do different things. Yeah. That's who I am as a person. I like to go do something else, you know, and I want to be able to go out there and pull a horse up and be able to go, you know, I may not do it great, but at least I could do it, you know, or, yeah. No.
Well, it's like, I mean, those reined cow horses are pretty badass. I mean,
yes.
you have to do each every one of them. Like, if you think about it, you're like, okay, we've got set cutters over here, set reiners over here, and they mm-hmm. spend a lot of time specializing. And here you got the reined cow horse that does all of it, and you're like, whoa.
It takes a special horse
yeah,
to do that.
Like, they're pretty mm-hmm. cool. So, now, yeah. did you... if you had to choose a specific discipline, though, like, outside of those, which one would you choose?
I've always said if I could do and could afford to do straight cutting, I would probably love to dabble in that. And I've ridden some cutting horses, and it's like riding a four-legged roller coaster. You know what I mean? Like, it's so fun. Just turning loose of the, you know, like just yeah. throwing the reins down and that horse just knowing his job and just doing it. I think that's so badass. But that being said, I love the beauty of reining and how pretty and those horses are so beautiful. And I mean, they're built to do it and they are the prettiest horses you've ever seen. So I guess what I'm describing is a cow horse. I guess I'd probably just stick with cow horsing. Where you ride a real pretty reining horse that can go do some cow work, you know, well, that'll do the cow work just as good.
This is awesome to hear because, like, okay, you grew up in cow horses and doing versatility and all that stuff. You're probably the best person to sit there and ask about how much it's changed. Do you think that Yellowstone had an effect on the industry and the people that come in it and the pricing and stuff, because you were there before it came while it's mm-hmm. there and now you're still there, mm-hmm. you know, because I've had a lot of people like it absolutely did, yes, you know, 100% mm-hmm. and then some people are like, no, I don't think it did, you know, what do you think?
Oh, I think it did. I definitely think it did. I can tell you from our industry, being hat makers, that all of a sudden there's been this massive flood of hat makers now.
Yeah.
And I mean, where everybody thinks they're a hat maker. And so that definitely changed. I do think it got a lot more people looking at our sport, and looking at the cow horse and looking at the reiners and looking at the cutters. I think it definitely had a cause and effect on our industry, for sure. I do. Well, I personally do.
Anything, you know, with more money, more problems, like you said, all of a sudden you had hat makers show up. Just like all of a sudden you had horse trainers show up, you know. It's like, which is, that's a whole nother conversation, you know. Horse trainers aren't necessarily licensed per se, like cow horse trainers, like all around horse trainers, you know. It's, anybody could sit there and put a sign out and go, you know what, I've been doing this for so long, give me your horse and let's do lessons. Then the next thing you know, you got a hospital bill. But that's, you know, it you're right though. That's with, that's with any industry.
I definitely think it had an effect. And I, you know, I think there for a while people are, have been waiting on the foot to drop or ball to drop, or whatever the saying is, on that, like the price of horses and the price of things. But it's still strong. I mean, and I'm glad to see it, you know, obviously it's good for our industry. It's good for America and it's good for our way of life, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? It's probably even better that you have a paralegal background. And I think you just said that he has, what, 3 patents or 6?
4.
4 patents. Mm-hmm. You know, not a lot of people want to talk about this part of business, but it's like, you know, that's great that you want to be a hat maker. That's cool if you want to do it. But you have intellectual property rights and you have laws that protect people for their originality and the things that they come up with and that they have, just like patents, you know. And I think in business, no matter whatever industry it is, sometimes people don't understand that. And it's like, okay, this is mine, or whoever have you, this is mine, so you can't copy it. It's not all fend for all. There's enough, you know, that saying, there's enough out there for everybody. Well, sometimes it's not, you know. This is what you have to protect, things that make you money and your brand and your business and stuff. So that's really cool that he has those, and it's cool that you understand that, obviously, that perspective of things, you know. And
yes, and that has helped us, and thank God we did them, you know, like we filed for the process and because, yeah, I mean, when you've got a good thing, good luck holding on to it, you know, because somebody's gonna, you know, we usually wait, it's usually a year after we introduce something that somebody else tries to copy us and what we're doing. So that's why we're always trying to think, how are we gonna stay ahead? How are we gonna stay ahead? And it's exhausting, honestly, but, you know, you just do the best you can to protect it. You try to get the word out that you're the original creator of that product. There'll be lots of copies and imitations, but only one original. And you hope people remember that, you know, remember you. Yeah, you could probably get what we're doing cheaper somewhere else, but it, you know, you're going to pay for that too.
Yeah.
You might be paying less,
yeah,
but you're going to pay for that later, you know, whether it's fit or comfort or, you know, whatever it is. So yeah, it's extremely hard. We just do our best, but we know, you know, you can only hang on to something, and then people are going to try to do their take on it. And you just hope people, you know, stay loyal and give you a shot, you know, as the original creator.
Well, yeah. And, you know, just like, remember, I don't know if you remember in the real estate industry in 2008 when everything like crashed.
Oh, yes.
I was like in the graphics portion of the advertising in real estate. So I was like right there in it. You could see the OGs, like the ones that had just kind of been in the industry for a long time. They survived that. And then you also have the newbies who come in. They saw everybody making money. You know, they come in, and the next thing you know, after the crash, it just kind of died out. And, you know, I feel like that's probably going to happen with the Western industry. You're going to have the ones that were there before the hype. And then you're going to have the ones that come along on the upstream that either make it or not make it because of just things like that. You know, I mean, that's just...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and, you know, the thing that, for me, and if I'm speaking candidly about it, it worries me. It worries J-Dub because we are very honest with people. We try to have integrity and you know, do the right thing.
Yeah.
And so, but there's no regulation on the hat industry as far as saying, like, for instance, the X factor. So the X is in your hat. Everybody gets hung up on the X. You know, how many X's is it? Well, just because a hat maker says your hat is 100X, there's no law or no regulation that governs that. So he can tell you that, but it might only be a 20X or a 10X. You see what I'm saying? Well,
can't that be false advertising, though?
I think so. I think so. And I wouldn't, you know, that's the problem, is there are hat makers out there that are claiming their hats are 100X hats that are nowhere near 100X hat. But you're paying 100X hat price. And that's so sad to me and J-Dub, because I'm telling you right now, we guarantee it. What we're telling you is what that hat is.
You're right.
So if you order a 100X hat, that's going to have 100% beaver fur in it. But there's no legislation, no laws that govern what actually the fur content needs to be to go in 100X or even a 50X. You may be thinking you're buying a 50X and it might be a 10X.
Right.
But you paid 50X price. Now, I'm not talking about manufacturer. I'm just, right now, I'm talking about just custom hat makers.
Right.
So that's bothersome to me. We would never do the people of this industry like that. Like, we just, this industry has been so good to us and so kind and in so many ways that we just feel that they deserve better than that. You know, and unfortunately there's no way around. I mean, you know, people are gonna try hat makers and think they're, you know, they trust their hat maker. I don't know.
No,
I don't, unless that hat maker can guarantee their hats are 100X, I mean, they can say it and they can get by with that. But that's just something we're not comfortable doing.
Yeah. No, I agree 110%. I mean, I was raised, and my daddy worked for himself, my grandpa worked for himself. You know, integrity, being honest, is a really big thing. Like, it's a big thing. Like, you're not going to make it very far in life if you can't be honest. Because it's going to come back and bite you at some point in time if you're not.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And it's a good thing that bothers you guys, because it shows your character, you know? And,
yeah.
But, like, what do you do? It's frustrating,
what
do you do? It's like,
what do you do?
Yeah.
You just hope that your name is good enough to carry some weight behind it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just a lot. I mean, we love to educate people so that they are knowledgeable when they do go hat shopping. Even at NFR, at our booth, you don't have to buy a hat from us. We're not going to hard sell you on a hat. You know, what we do tell people is, we know our hats are expensive. We know what hat companies are in this building. We encourage you to look at our hats. Let us tell you about it. Let us talk to you about the fur and why this and why that. And then we release them. Like, hey, go check out other hat companies. We are totally fine with that. We just want you to know what to look for. And you know, we don't care one way or the other. We just want you to know.
Right.
You know, if you're, you know, a 50X hat body from so-and-so, yep, that's going to be okay. You're going to be okay doing that. Or, you know, hey, you know, like, we go try other hats on, see, you know, what you think of them. And then if you, you know, we'd love to see you again at the end of the day. I mean, we're good about that, because we honestly care about people. You're not just money to us. You're a person to us. You're part of this industry. Let's support each other. Let's keep each other strong, educate, and then let's build it to be the best it could be.
Yeah. Well, that's all you can do. Now, I did want to talk about, like, the different types of hats. Because, I was mind blown, too, that I didn't realize you had different names and shapes for, like, the top of it, the other side of it, like you can get it bigger and smaller. I had no idea. And I grew up around horses my whole life. We just had a regular old straw hat and one little black felt hat, you know, like
that's right. But yeah, that, I grew up like that too.
But I didn't know that you could literally get it custom as, I mean, like customized.
Yeah.
And you guys do that from start to finish.
Yes. And that's what's really fun. And what we really enjoy working with people, because everybody's different.
Yeah.
And I love it. We both love it when somebody comes in and they want some, you know, a shape that's different, or a bigger brim or a shorter brim. I mean, it just kind of tells you who they are as people.
Really?
And, I love that. I love getting to know that about our customers, because, you know, shape is so... it's just preference, you know, it's what you like, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like everybody else. What do you like? What do you like to see on yourself? What do you show in? And, you know, and you know, if they're showing, then I try to help them get the right shape for what they're showing in. But people that just want a cool hat that reflects who they are as a person, we're all about it.
Yeah.
We're all about that.
What's the ones with the round? It's like a round center.
So that might be a Nevada flat. It's like flat on top with like a circle kind of built into it.
Yeah.
With a straight brim.
Yeah.
Those, we call those a Nevada flat.
See, that's so cool.
And it's kind of like representative of that area. You know, you'll see a lot of cowboys and cowgirls up in Nevada that wear that look. A cowboy hat will tell you so much about somebody. What sport they're riding, what area they're from, you know, if they're a corporate guy or a cowboy, like a working cowboy. I mean, it's really fun. It's a really fun game, actually, when you're out and about, you know, like sitting at the airport watching cowboy hats, you know, especially here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and be like, oh, that's an executive, you know, I bet he's a lawyer. And then you'll see another hat. Oh, that's a working cowboy. He's coming in, you know, whatever. And, you know, or they're from up in Wyoming. You can tell by the shape of their hat. I mean, it's kind of a fun, you know, because a hat can tell you a lot about somebody.
We should do a run in bed on see how many people you get right. Like, random people. Right? Just be like, tell us about this person and see if you can't figure it out. Just show them their hat.
That would be fun. Yeah. Yeah. But, that's part, you know, that's part of why I love this job so much, is because you just meet everybody and from all walks of life, and we all have the same thing in common. You know, we love the Western lifestyle, and so nobody's wrong.
Right,
you know,
right,
it's
right,
just
right.
What you like to wear and what may be common in your area. You know.
Now, what about the custom colors? You guys do custom. You dye the felt. Now, do you? Okay, so do you guys manufacture your stuff there, like in house?
Yes, so we get the fur. A lot of our custom colors, J-Dub does.
How cool is that?
He can do some really cool. We came out with a blue roan hat. A customer challenged us to create her a blue roan hat, and I want to tell you, that blew up the internet. Like, when I put that hat out, it was like,
I'm gonna have to Google,
you know, and
stuff.
Everybody was calling, you know, the fur supplier wanting that color, and he was like, well, you're going to have to call J.W. Brooks about that, because he's the creator of that color. Like, I cannot get you that fur. That is not a thing. Like,
that's awesome.
He did that, not me. So that was really, and that's still one of our bigger sellers to this day, is that blue roan hat. Yeah.
Yeah. See, you're not going to get that walking into a boot barn. You're not going to get that going anywhere else.
No.
And the outfits, like, that's funny you said that, like, way earlier ago when you were talking about pleasure, how much it's changed, because I had a culture shock. I didn't ride for a while, and then I come back on Facebook and I saw where vests and jackets were like $3,000 and seven grand. I saw one for $7,000. And granted, I'm sure the time is worth it. Absolutely. You know, like, I'm sure then people put a lot of time into that. But I was like, for a pleasure outfit? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a thing. Yeah.
So the hat's got to match.
Right. You got to have a hat, you know. And that's funny. And we kind of giggled about that for a while there, because, you know, you look down in especially the pleasure arena and you're seeing a quarter of $1 million.
Yeah. Easy.
In one horse team, horse person team, between the shirt, the vest, the shacks, the pants, the belt, the saddle, the blankets, and then the price of the horse and the bridle. Oh my gosh, you know, like, I mean, easily $100,000 in a package set right there. And then, you know, and then this just box hat, you know, just kind of sitting up there. You're like, come on, you know, like you said, you got all of that. And then you've got, you know, a really like wool blend hat on. So come on, girl, let's bring you up to bed. You know, let's bring that up.
I would laugh at that too. No, that's funny. You're right, though. And we did it for a ribbon. Not even no money back.
Right. Oh my gosh. When it started going that way, my dad said, "You're out. We're not doing that. We can't afford it. We can't do that. You're out." Like, so.
Well, even on the East Coast,
riding, I don't know.
We didn't have a lot of cow places over here on the East Coast. You can even say that. Like, even when I remember sorting started coming up. You know, you could go anywhere on the East Coast to sort, at least from North Carolina. You had to go to Georgia or Virginia if you wanted to remotely have a decent sorting. So a lot of people don't think about that as far as the cattle is concerned, to even practice these disciplines and do this stuff, you know. But anyhow, so now what's the furthest that you guys have traveled to set up besides just the NFR? Do you go, I know you guys go to other shows and events too.
Sure. I think we've, the furthest we've ever traveled would probably have been Ohio. We went up there for Horse Expo, and then we've been to, and then California.
Yeah.
I remember one summer, literally this happened. We went from, we had to go to California for a cow horse show. In Paso Robles, and then we drove straight across and went down to Florida for another cow horse show.
Oh wow.
Like back to back. And that was interesting. I mean, that was probably that year we spent a lot of time on the road. And
how long did that take?
Forever.
That's a couple days.
Oh my gosh, I remember it took forever. And then what's really funny is we were driving to Florida, the Florida cow horse show, and the guy running that show was like, "Hey, why don't you jump on my horse and show while you're here?" And I was like, "Oh, cool." And I was so stoked about that because I'd been watching, you know, cow horses all, you know, that whole week before, and I was really fired up. And I was like, "Yeah, I want to do that." So I get down there, jump on his horse, practice on it the night before, went and showed it the next day, won the class. Went to show it the second day, and all I had to do was make a clean run. Yeah. Well, I overspun.
Oh, dang.
And that was the longest trip back home for my husband, I guarantee you. He was like, if I said I overspun, can you believe? I mean, I was out of the money, the saddle, the buckle. I mean, all I had... I couldn't even believe I had done that. Yeah, I was so mad at myself. But anyway, it was a long trip for my husband.
Just don't speak.
So the trip was long, and I made it longer. Let's just say that.
You can't win them all. It's okay.
I know. I was like, dang, what a story that would have been. I catch rode somebody's horse and won the whole thing. But no, I overspun, so that was cool.
Well, I mean, you know, it happens to the best of us.
One of those things. But
now anyway. You guys are obviously regulars at the NFR. What's probably your best event that you like to go to, as far as just, you know, being to get there, setting up, and the people and things of that nature? Is it the NFR? Is that probably one of the best ones that you guys like to go to?
We do love NFR. We met there, but we had both been going several years before we met, even. Yeah. So my gosh, I mean. We've been going since we were in our 20s, him probably early 20s, me late 20s. But I love, obviously, going to the rodeo. Yeah. My brother-in-law announces several nights of that. So I always love going when he's announcing. J-Dub could take it or leave it because he's been to hundreds of rodeos in his lifetime. He's like, ah, you know. And he loves listening to his brother too, but he can kind of take it or leave it. But I do love going to the rodeo. We had Thomas Rhett come in the booth last year. No way! Yeah, I got measured for a hat and invited us to come see his concert.
How cool is
that? And that night, and like VIP'd us the whole thing. It was so fun. And but that's one of the fun things about NFR is you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what that night's going to have. You know, it's just,
yeah,
it's such a fun show. Because the people make it fun. So, right. Like I said, you just never know who's going to walk in the booth. You never know what you're going to do that night. And to, you know, we've ate dinner. There's a place there that you eat in the dark, like completely blacked out. And I think that's the name of the restaurant, Blacked Out. But you eat like a 7-course meal all in the dark.
How cool.
It's super fun. And, you know, it's just, we don't get to do a lot of things. Like we work all year,
right?
And often 7 days a week we're, you know, doing something with hats, either, you know, because our shop's right on our property. And
well, that's cool.
For us to go to NFR, it's kind of like vacation in a way. Even though we are working our butts off, we still get to have experiences and fun stuff that we wouldn't normally get to do. So right. Yeah, that would probably be our best.
Well, that's cool. Your shop's like right there with you guys. That's what I was asking earlier. You're like, it's right, it's there. You don't have to go travel anywhere. You don't send it off. You make it there. How long does it normally take to get a custom hat? Does it depend on the hat, or is it just like?
It does depend on the hat.
Okay.
It depends on the color.
Okay.
And quality. Okay. That 100X thing I was telling you about, like if you're buying a 100X or a Billy or a chinchilla or a mink, and what color.
Have mink hats?
Yes.
I didn't even know this existed.
Mink and chinchilla. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are
blended. Those will have some beaver fur in them and mink and obviously chinchilla in them. But yeah, they're top tier. For instance, I personally have been waiting on a bone chinchilla hat for years. I'm the last person that's going to get one. But
hey, the shoemaker's kids don't have shoes. That's what they say.
So. Yeah, so you understand that. But part of that is because of my color choice and the quality that I'm wanting it in.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of waiting. It's going to happen. And I say years, I'm exaggerating, but a little bit, but not much, but I have been waiting.
It's okay. My dad painted his whole career. Like that's what he did for a living, but they didn't paint my room till I left. So I was like,
see, you get it.
What?
You know where I'm coming from. God,
I didn't even know that you could get that on a hat. Like that's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now, okay. So let me ask you this. You shape the hat after you make it, or you make it then shape it?
Shaping is the last thing we're going to do. We make the hat. We get it the way you want it. You know, as far as color and content, the fur content. We put our patented sweatband in it. It comes with your name in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and that's super cool because it says exclusively for and artfully made for you and has your name in it. I mean, this hat has your measurements in it. It's not going to fit somebody the way that hat fits you. It was literally made for you. And then the last thing we do is shape it. And like I said, the customers will always pick the shape and we'll help them if they need help on that. But yeah, the shape's the last thing that gets put on that hat. And then we'd love for you to come in and try it on and make sure everything's going to work for you. And then hopefully you'll have it for the next 20 years.
Right. Well, it's probably a better thing to buy in person than it is. I mean, I'm sure you guys probably do online sales, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you really want to prefer to be face-to-face with the customer.
Sure. It's better if we can see you and J-Dub can personally measure you and stuff. But we do have a way to measure people in Australia. You know, we'll send you or somebody in Canada or somebody in California. We can send you a self-measuring kit You can watch the video on how to measure yourself. And then we've had a lot of luck with that, actually. People, we've kind of simplified it down and to where people can actually get a hat made without coming in.
Yeah.
Of course, and, you know, if they get it and it's not exactly what they want or it needs tweaked one way or the other, we obviously tweak that, because, I mean, we've got 100% guarantee on our hats. You love it, or we'll make you another one, or we'll give you your money back. There's just no, we don't mess around with that.
Right.
You know, we really want you to love it. Yeah. So we'll do whatever it takes to get you there.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. You guys tap into online sales and make that a convenience, because, you know, it's hard. Some people don't want to get up and go to the NFR or even go to shows or whatever. They just want a nice hat to have. So,
sure.
You know, that's really cool. Cause if you're not willing to tap into online sales in some form or fashion, you're missing out. Like,
yeah,
as any business.
Yeah. Yeah. And the cool thing is now is we are going into more retail locations.
Cool.
So you can even order a hat from National Roper Supply there in Decatur, Texas. We've got Double R Hat House. We've got, we've got retail stores popping up, you know, all over the country now are starting to carry our hats. So you don't just have to come to us anymore. I mean, what you're getting is a shelf hat, but we still, I mean, it's still personally made by us. Jada puts his hands on every hat that leaves our shop, and it's more semi-custom than say a Resistol or an American, but you just don't have that wait time,
right?
Because you know it may, I mean. I guess we've gotten our wait time for customs down quite a bit, but you know, I mean, up till 6 months ago, it was still a year to get one of ours, a custom hat from us. Mm-hmm. But we've dramatically lowered that wait time now, because we've got more fur available to us, and it doesn't quite. It's still going to depend on your color and quality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anything custom is going to take amount of time, you know.
Yeah. But a black 100X, man, we got you. You know, that goes out pretty quick.
Yeah. Black goes with everything. So
that